Bonjour, very warm welcome to you. I'm very pleased that Rich Carding is here from St Neots with his band of Merry Men. So thank you for bringing the musicians and thank you for bringing the word too. Just a couple of notices. The GBM prayer diary is available at the back of the church. That's the May prayer diary. We have an officers meeting this Wednesday. If you have anything you'd like to bring to our attention, then please do so. And the special collection for the work in Ukraine will finish today. So if you'd like to contribute to the work that's going on to help the situation in Ukraine, then please do place your contribution in the brown envelope and just mark it Ukraine, and we'll make sure that that gets there. A reminder that on Tuesday at 7:30 we have a prayer time, and next Sunday is the 1st of May, and David will be here to lead the service, and we'll also be meeting around the Lord's table for communion. Thank you.
Well, good morning. I need to put this on, don't I? It's really lovely to see you and be here. So we're just thinking about as we were praying. It was a few years ago we came here, and then a national lockdown happened. So hopefully it won't repeat itself. Because that was a bit strange, wasn't it? I don't think you would have thought that the world would stop for a couple of years on that Sunday that we were here. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Richard. I'm the youth and children's worker at St Neots Evangelical Church. And I have Daniel and Nick and Libby with us here this morning, who are going to be helping out both with our music and with praying. And we've tried to pick songs that you'll know, so hopefully it will all go swimmingly well and the technology will not let us down. But it's technology, so maybe they won't have that on the new earth, I don't know. So why don't we kick off our time together by praying together this morning. Dear Father God, thank you that this morning we have the opportunity to come here to this building, not simply to talk to and hear from each other, as enjoyable as that is, but talk to and hear from you, the King of the universe, the Eternal One, the God Most High, the Creator of each and every one of us. Thank you, though, that we also come to talk to and hear from a God who is gracious and merciful, our Saviour and our Friend, that though we've turned our backs on you, knowingly or unknowingly, and deserved your judgment, you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, fully God and fully man, to live the perfect life we didn't and take our sin and your righteous punishment for it on himself. So that if we believe in you, if we trust in you here this morning, we can talk to you and hear from you, not just as our God, but as our Heavenly Father. Lord God, thank you for doing that for us. Thank you for your great kindness to us. So in all that we sing, say, hear and pray, might you help us, whoever we are, wherever we're at in our relationship with you, to see more of your kindness this morning and grasp what a great and glorious God that you are, so that we might know you better and love you more. And we pray this in Jesus' name, for your glory and for our joy. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says that God is great, and because he is great, we are to proclaim his greatness to the universe. So let's do that now as we stand and sing our first song, How Great Thou Art.
The stars, I hear the rising drum blast.
the other seat. We're going to have a look at the passage from the Bible now. We're going to look at Psalm 119, verses 1 through to 16. If you've got one of the Blue Church Bibles, that's on page 617. So I will read Psalm 119, starting at verse 1 on page 617. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong, but follow his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. One of the great things about being a Christian is that our God isn't just great, mighty, and powerful. He also is our Father, who, if we're Christians, loves us just as much as he loves Jesus and always will. So let's remind each other of that great truth now by singing How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Now, we've been thinking this morning about God's kindness to us and the grace that he's shown us in saving us and in making us his children. And I've asked Keith whether he'll share a little bit about the kindness and grace that God's shown him, both in saving him and through all of his 21 years of life on this earth. So, Keith, if you would like to come up and share your testimony of God's grace to you.
I think most of you know that I grew up in South Africa, and I was privileged to be brought up in a Christian home. And as a teenager, I came to understand that I was a sinner and I needed Christ as Saviour, and I became a Christian. When I was 18, my family moved to the UK, and I joined the Royal Air Force. And when I left South Africa, the young people's group and the church that we went to gave me a book. And I think it's proved to be very helpful to people in their walk with Christ, The Imitation of Christ. And in the front, this was written: "We present you this little book on the occasion of your departure from South Africa in 1963, and thus from our young people's fellowship. We pray that wherever you are, high in the sky, you may know his abiding presence and others may see his imprint upon you. God be with you." I served in the RAF for 31 years as air crew, navigator, mostly on big aeroplanes. And throughout that time and since, the importance of Christian fellowship was a vital help in one's Christian life and witness. I was a member of the Armed Forces Christian Union, so wherever I went or wherever we went as a family, if necessary, we could get in touch with the local Christian Union representative and have fellowship with like-minded believers. Early on in our family life, we moved every 2.5 to 3 years, and we often felt that God had prepared a place for us. We very quickly settled, found a fellowship, and enjoyed meeting with other Christians, even sometimes places that we didn't particularly look forward to going to. Even overseas, the Christian Union could provide contacts. And one striking example that came to mind was once I was at an American Air Force base near Las Vegas for a couple of weeks. And I was given the name of an American serviceman who I was able to meet. And he invited me to his home, and I enjoyed wonderful fellowship with him and his family. And it struck me when I was there that I was very short distance from the gambling capital of the world with all its glitz and glamour, and here I was enjoying fellowship with fellow Christians. It was wonderful, a great example of Christian love and support. We came here in 1982, or to RAF Witten, and expected to be there for a couple of years, sometime later. But through all the highs and lows, and there have been many of them, we've appreciated the support of fellow Christians. And I just want to leave you with this verse from Philippians: "My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus."
Okay. Thank you very much, Keith. It's great to hear of God's provision through the church, his body, Christ's body, and it's great that we also can have direct provision from the Lord, and we're going to talk to him now in prayer, and Daniel and Nick are going to come up and lead us in those prayers.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the grace that you've shown us in sending your son Jesus Thank you that you sent your one and only son down to earth to die a horrible death to save us from our sins. I thank you that you loved us enough to do that. And I thank you that we now have a place with him next to you in heaven if we put our faith in you. And I thank you for the inheritance that you offer us alongside your son Jesus. And I thank you that you've given that to us despite nothing we can do to deserve that. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, I pray for the situation in Ukraine. I pray that you'll be with everyone, especially the children who are suffering as the crisis deteriorates. I pray for those in the country who are anxious and fearful, for those who are bereaved, for those who are injured, and for those who have lost their lives. I pray that you'll be with everyone over there as they struggle through this hard time. And I pray that you'll help them to come to fellowship with other Christians in the country, no matter how hard that may be in this time. And I thank you for the freedom that we have in this country to worship freely and without persecution. And I pray that that will become more common in this world, and countries that don't have that freedom will gain that freedom with you. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, I pray for young Christians in schools. I pray that you would help them as they are surrounded by people who maybe not only don't believe in you, but will put them down for their faith in you. I pray that you help them to find other Christians around them that they can share fellowship with. I pray for CUs in schools. I pray that you'd help them to really reach out to the young people, and that in your power, more young people in schools would turn to you and they would trust you with their lives. Amen.
Dear God, we place our worries in your hands. We place our sick under your care, and those in need as well. We pray for all those in Needingworth and in other places around here who are sick and needy. We pray that you'll help us to know how we can care for them, and how we can share your word in the hardship they're going through with them. I pray that you'll help us to be with them in their times of need, and that we can help to bring your word when they need it most. We pray in your name all these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks very much, Nick and Daniel. We thought this morning that our God is both great and mighty, but also that if we're Christians, despite our sin, he is a kind and loving father to us all. And the reason that both those things can be true is because of God's amazing grace that he's shown us in the gospel. So let's sing of that amazing grace now. Let's stand when the music begins to play.
I'm
have a seat. We're going to spend some time now hearing from our great and gracious Father in his word, the Bible. So to that end, if you can have Psalm 119 open in front of you, that would be great. Before we look at it though, let's ask our Father to help us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that this book we have in front of you is the very word of God, that it is as much your word as the word spoken by the Lord Jesus. It is as much your word as the words that came forth from Mount Sinai, that this is the living and enduring word of God. And we thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit, your breath, who carries your word to our hearts and our minds. We pray that he will help us to not only understand what you're saying, but to take it to heart and to be different because of it. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I've got a question for you. Do you think it's easy to be a Christian? Do you think it is easy to be a Christian? I mean, at one level, it is easy to be a Christian, isn't it? You just ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and you are forgiven. You are holy and pure in God's sight, just like Jesus. We are princes and princesses, if you like, in God's sight. But just like when Kate Middleton, a commoner like us, became royal, had to live differently, God wants us to live as those people we are. He wants our lives to be holy and pure. And living that way is very hard. In fact, it can be a fight. And I guess all of us who are Christians here this morning will know that. You feel pressure to be silent about or compromise what you believe so that people won't think that you're weird. You might feel pressure to have the latest kind of stuff like everyone else in the world does. Again, so that people won't think that you're a bit odd. You feel pressure from the world to actually just put your feet up and relax and let others do the hard work now, because you've done plenty, haven't you, in your lives. You feel pressure to turn on and reject and hurt those who've hurt us, because that's the world's way of dealing with people who hurt us. We feel pressure to give in to temptation in our minds, in our hearts, on the internet. And let's be honest about this. Some of us in this room today are going to be feeling those things in some way or another. And many, if not all of us here, will have buckled under that pressure at one point in our lives. And the thing is, it's not like there's a place you can go to take a break or escape those pressures, because they come from some of our closest friends, from the media, and in fact, worst of all, from our own hearts. And because of that, I think a lot of us here today, if not all of us, will be asking that question. You see in verse 6 of the psalm, how, God, is it that we can keep our way pure? In fact, it might be that even if you're not a Christian, you're asking that too. Because for all this good stuff about forgiveness and new life and new hope, it seems like God is asking you to do an impossible thing in living a holy life. So you too want an answer to that question. How can we keep our way pure? Well, as we thought, the good news is that if that is a question we're asking, we are not alone. 3,000 years ago, a young Christian was feeling that pressure too. And he was asking the same things that we're asking. You see that in verse 9. He asks, how can a young person keep his way pure? He doesn't, verse 10, want to stray from God's commands. He doesn't, verse 11, want to sin. But the great thing here is that as well as asking the question, this young Christian gives us the answer in verse 9. He says the way we live pure is by living according to God's word. So just let me sum up his answer. How do you keep your way pure? How do you deal with the pressure that you're under to compromise? Study the Bible and live it out. Now, I wonder how you feel about that answer. I guess for some of us, it might be that our hearts have just sunk. Because what you really want is a secret, something that you could do, a prayer you can pray, a special empowerment from the Holy Spirit that is going to make that pressure melt away and will just make you holy and pure and always want to be that way. But what he said is study the Bible and live it out. Maybe though, study the Bible and live it out was the answer that you're expecting to hear. But just like knowing that a teacher doesn't want you to talk in class doesn't stop you giving in to the pressure of doing it, you don't see how knowing how God wants us to live is going to help us to be pure. And you don't see how all these random stories about floating accents and talking donkeys, how is that going to help you be holy at all? Maybe, though, study the Bible and live it out is actually the answer that you were dreading. Because you've done that in the past. You've used Bible notes or you've read through the Bible in a year. And being honest, you've got nothing out of it. Apart from a whole load of rules that you found you're not able to follow and keep. And if the answer to how do you keep your way pure is to study the Bible and live it out, actually, that resigns you to defeat. Well, if you're feeling anything like that, I think God has got some good news for us today. When I was 14, I had a pen friend in Los Angeles, and her name, and this is true, was Missy Passanissi. Now, I, as a 14-year-old boy, for totally altruistic reasons, wanted to get to know Missy and find out whether I should ask her out or not, because what's 8,000 miles when true love conquers all? So how did I do that? Well, I read her letters, and through her words, I got to know her better and better, and I grew to like her more and more, and then I sent her my photo and never heard back from her. Sadly, that is true. Well, the young man says it's the same with God. You see that in verse 10. He says, I seek you with all my heart. See, he reads the Bible to find God, to meet him and get to know him. How does that work, though? Well, I think there are two clues in what the young man says. First one, okay, can you see how he says he's hidden God's word in his heart in verse 11? The Hebrew he uses there means all God's done and all God's promised. He treasures these things in his heart. Why is that? Because just like we might know what a celebrity is really like through what they do or say, as he sees God's actions and God's promises in the Bible, he sees how loving and good and kind and patient, how just, holy, gracious and merciful God is. That's the first one. There's a second point today. You see in verse 11, he has got to know God's commandments. I say that's in verse 11. In verse 10, rather, and verse 12. Just think, if a teacher at school was to tell you not to be rude, we're not just learning a rule, are we? We're learning something about her. We're learning that she values politeness. And it's the same with God. The more of God's commands this young man hears, the more loving and good and kind and patient and just and holy and merciful and gracious he finds out God is. And the bottom line here is that as he reads God's word, this young man meets with God. He gets to see what God is like, what he loves, what he hates. He gets to know God. What does he make of this God that he meets? Well, have a look in verse 12. See, he says, "Praise be to you, Lord." See, we don't praise the things that we hate, do we? We talk about or share on the internet stuff that we think is brilliant because we love those things. And it's the same for this young man. Him praising God can mean only one thing. He thinks that the God he's met in the Bible is the most amazing and brilliant and beautiful person. And because he meets that person in the Bible, he thinks that the Bible, that the book you're holding in your hands right now, is the most amazing and brilliant and precious thing in the world to him as well. But he doesn't just love the Bible because of that. Can you see what he does in verse 12 and 13? He asks God to teach him his decrees, and he wants to make sure he's learned all God's commandments. Why? Because he is so totally in love with God, he wants to live God's way. Living in a way that pleases God fills him with as much joy as a lottery win. And where does he find that God's blueprint for life? In God's word, the Bible. So he loves this book with all his heart. When I was 17, I had the pleasure of being forced to go to extra maths after school. Another thing they won't have on the new earth, maths. Controversial point of view, I understand. But my mum and dad forced me to go to these extra maths lessons, and it wasn't great. Imagine though, you're forced to go to extra maths after school, but when you're there, you find you're not alone. Actually, there is also the girl or guy of your dreams in that extra maths. And they're gorgeous, and as the weeks go by, you get to know them more. And you find out that, you know, they're lovely, they're kind to kittens, and they love giving away chocolate to people. And best of all, they really like you. How do you feel at that point about extra maths? You're going to start loving those extra maths lessons, aren't you? And you'll like it all the more when you find out that going to extra maths is not just about learning algebra, but it's about spending time with this person, finding more out about what they're like and what pleases them and makes them happy. Stuff that you want to find out because you love them to bits and you want to do what they like. So extra maths, which was dull and irrelevant, becomes just the place you want to be. Because it becomes the place that you meet your true love. And it's the same with the Bible. People will tell you this book is boring and irrelevant. Even that little voice in our heads will tell us not to waste our time reading it. But that is a load of rubbish. Because the book that you're holding in your hands is a wonderful treasure. Because in its pages you meet God in the face of Jesus Christ. In all Jesus has done, in everything he said, in all the things he's promised, and in all the things he commands. And as we read that, by the power of the Spirit, we see more and more of what a beautiful, precious, and amazing person Jesus, God, is. So no matter what people might say, or even what our own feelings might tell us, this book is all we need to get pure life in the first place. It's all we need to live it out, and it's all we need to keep living it out for the rest of our lives, because it's here that we will see his beauty and his glory, and that will give us the power that we need to want to live the pure life. So whether you're a Christian here today or not, please, please, please read the Bible. It might be though that you want to say, "Rich, I've done that, I've read the Bible, and nothing has changed." Well, If that's you, let me say that you're not alone. I've been in that place. I'm guessing many of us in this room will have been in that place. Let me give you some hope, though. Okay. I just want to show you a picture of Victoria Falls. What do you think of that place? I'm guessing that you thought it was quite nice, but you're not exactly blown away by it, because you've only glimpsed it briefly. But let's put it back up. And this time, let me help you look at it. Just stare at it. Try and get an idea of how big that is. It's over 100 metres. What's that? 350 feet tall. It's twice the height of Niagara Falls. It's 107 kilometres long. Imagine the power of those millions of litres of water a second crashing down into the river below it. You kind of get a sense of the spray that it generates from the rainbow that's there. It is amazingly powerful. I've never been. Can't imagine the roar of the water. But as well as powerful, there's also something beautiful about it as well, isn't there? The way that the water falls, the way that the land around it is so green, and the way that it does create all these rainbows. Can't quite see it, there's actually a double rainbow. On other photos you get these kind of circle rainbows. It's just amazing. Now, obviously it's not a patch on being there, but I would imagine that you feel differently about Victoria Falls now than you did after seeing the picture for 3 seconds. And it's not because the picture has changed in any way, it's exactly the same picture. It's just because we spent time looking at it and, with my help, grasped a bit of how amazing it was. And it's like that with the Bible. The young man isn't head over heels with love because he's glimpsed him, because he's read a passage once, answered 3 questions about it, and said a one-line prayer. The love that drives him to live the pure life comes from him spending time with God's word, with God's help. And you see that in verse 12, don't you? He says to God, "Teach me your decrees." He is asking God to help him learn the Bible. And he reminds himself in verse 13 of all he's learned in the past from the Bible. And in verse 14, how living that out has made him happy in the past. And then what he's done, he has thrown himself into his Bible reading. He's spent time thinking about what he's read. And when he's got what it's saying, he spends time getting his heart to see how amazing God's word is. So that in verse 16, he doesn't just know the decrees. He doesn't just think, "I've got to live them out." He delights in those decrees. And then goes back for more. He doesn't neglect God's word. What does doing that look like, then? Phil, can you do my next slide, please? Here's John 3, verse 16. I'll use this as an example. So, for me, the way that I might try and do this Bible meditation, if you like, to use the words the Puritans would have used, is to read that verse over a few times and then think about it. I think about what a cost it was for Father God to send Jesus, his one and only Son, to die on the cross. I think about how his one and only Son, the heir of the universe, the eternal God himself, had to take the punishment for my sin. And I keep thinking about that until my heart starts to get it as well as my head. Till I start to sense the great cost that must have been, the great sorrow that must have caused God. And at that point, I may start saying sorry to God for some of the sins that I've done that day, week, last 10 seconds most likely, that I have meant Jesus had to die for me. Then I think about that truth that God loves the world and therefore loves me. That even as part of the world, the rebel human race, which is what the word cosmos means, he loved me until that my head begins to realise that I really am loved, and my heart begins to rejoice that God actually loves me so much, and loved me so much when I was his enemy. How much more does he love me now I'm part of his family? And perhaps at that point I might pray for a friend or a family member that they might know that love for him too. And then I might think about the fact that I don't have to perish because I have eternal life. That I am a child of the King. I call God my Abba, my Daddy, just like Jesus does. And that one day I am going to be exactly like Jesus. All the sin is going to be removed from me. And that I'm going to live forever, getting to know him better and enjoy him more, free from all the rubbish and pain that there is in this world. And I keep thinking that until I start to feel glad that I'm a Christian. And perhaps from that gladness, I start to pray to God, asking him to help me be more like Jesus, because Jesus is a great person to be like. And maybe in particular ways on a particular day. That's how I put into practice copying the young man in Psalm 119. I'm sure there are loads of ways you can do that that will suit your personality. You can do it with Bible notes. You can do it without them. You can do it all together with other people or on your own. However we do it though, I think if we read the Bible like he did, if we meditate on the Bible, then I believe that we will grow to love reading the Bible. Because as we read it, we won't just be learning stuff that makes us great at Bible trivia quizzes. We'll actually be meeting God, seeing his glory and beauty in Jesus, and seeing how we can live the pure life that he calls us to. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for the Bible. We recognise that it can seem very ordinary, just another book in our hands, and its message can seem distant from us sometimes, but we thank you that in it we see your glory in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that we won't give in to our sin and give it a cursory reading or be disappointed with it, but that you will help us to fight that battle, to meditate on your word, to meet you in it, and to therefore want to be like you, to obey you, because we love you for all you've done for us. We pray, Lord Jesus, that our lives might glorify you more as you make us more like yourself, through the power of your word and your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've seen this morning that God is a great and mighty God who saves us by his grace, makes us part of his family, and he keeps showering grace upon us in good times and in bad. And to finish our time together this morning, we're going to remind ourselves of that truth by standing and singing Blessed Be Your Name. It may be that you don't know this song. It's pretty easy, so you should just be able to pick it up as we go along. But hopefully it'll be an encouragement to you anyway.
Where the streets of earth
God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen.
Amen.
Please do have a seat. Thank you once again for putting up with us this morning. Thank you very much to our young people for playing the music, and Phil, who got co-opted in at the last minute. But no, we hope you have an encouraging time, and God bless you and keep you as you go from here. Thank you very much.